Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Welcome to the RTC Weekly Download. I'm your host, Jim Dolan. Well, today we're doing husbands and wives, and they're situated in different kinds of programs. The first husband and wife are Mr. and Mrs. North. Now, they're all about crime, so we're going to go and see what they do on a program called Death Comes in Cans. And then 30 minutes from now, we'll have a little bit of fun with Phil Harris and Alice Faye as Phil goes to get a tonsillectomy. That should be exciting. That's from 1949. Right now, Mr. and Mrs. North.
All right, you little busybody. Get on your feet.
Me?
Yes, you. Stand up and be quick about it or I'll kill you.
Mr. and Mrs. North, starring Barbara Britton and Richard Denning. Listen as Pam and Jerry solve the mystery, Death Comes in Cans. Early evening on the Brooklyn waterfront, the fog hangs like a soggy veil over Pier Number 9. It almost obscures that shack on the pier, the one with the sign that says, Reber's Harbor Service. Diving, dredging, boats for rent.
Well, that place looks as good as any, Pam.
Jerry, do we have to go fishing tomorrow?
Yep. Watch your step there, darling.
Why can't we go some other time when the weather clears up?
A true fisherman is never daunted by atmospheric conditions.
Well, they daunt me. This fog is ruining my hair.
Yeah, the fog will be gone by morning.
Hey, you.
Oh,
Where are you going?
Do you have to scare us to death popping out of the fog like...
I said, where are you going?
Well, now, just a minute. We're going over there to rent a boat. Is that all right with you?
No more boats tonight.
We want to reserve one for the morning for fishing.
No boats tomorrow either.
Well, don't you have any boats, Mr. Reber? Your sign says
I'm not Reber.
Oh, well then why
get your boat someplace else.
Look, if you don't mind...
I do mind.
Come on, Jerry.
George Reber ain't there. Get your boat someplace else.
Come on, Jerry, please.
Okay, Pam. Well, thanks for your hospitality, chum.
Yeah. I'll tell George you were here.
Honey, it's late. I've been waiting.
The fog. It slowed up the whole harbor.
Here, give me your coat.
It's wet. I'll do it.
I don't mind, honey. I'll hang it up for you. Here, let me help
you.
I'll
do it.
Gee, something the matter, honey?
I saw Mixer outside, Claire.
Oh.
On the pier.
Well, I was going to tell you, George. He wanted to see you.
On the deal he telephoned about?
Yeah.
What'd you tell him? Answer me.
George, come.
What'd you tell him?
Go on me.
Okay. Now, what did you tell Mixer?
What do you think I told him? I told him you'd take his deal.
You?
George, just wait to hear what he wants.
I don't care what he wants. Didn't I tell you I wasn't having any part of Mixer or his deals?
Yeah, but wait to hear.
Then why'd you tell him I would? Why?
Why? Because I don't feel like rotting away in this crummy shack all my life. That's why. I told him you were doing it for me. For me, George, honey.
For you?
Yeah.
You're not on parole. I am. I'm trying to stay clean, stay straight.
George, listen.
I'm trying to get us back on our feet again.
Listen, George, listen. He's got two cases of dope in the bottom of the harbor. He needs you to get him out of the water.
Ah, forget it.
What? Where are you going?
To find Mixer.
Oh, no, you're not.
Oh, no?
No. Not if you want me around, you're not.
Look, baby, I took the rap for you once. You know how much I want you around, but this
Okay, all right. But if you think I'm going to spend my life scraping barnacles and soaking in bilge...
Cut it out, Claire.
I mean it. I'm not wasting any more time in this sewer. Not with a spineless ex-con...
Shut up! Shut up!
George!
Shut up, I say! Oh. Claire... Claire,
let me alone. Let me alone, will you?
I shouldn't have done that, Claire. I just lost my head. I'm sorry, baby. Claire.
Go away. Keep away from
Claire,
me.
Claire, please, listen. You're so right that this is no good, not for us. I got to make it up to you.
Oh, sure.
I'll go with Mixer tonight.
George.
Yeah, I'll go. Sure, we can use the money. We save the dough he pays us.
Oh, there's more dough in it than that, honey. There's a lot more dough in it than that.
Let's keep the deal straight. Just payment for service. We don't want the stuff. We can't afford to fool around with dope. Please, honey. I want to stay out of trouble. For your sake, Claire. Okay?
Sure. Sure, George. That's okay.
spot mixer?
Don't worry. Map, compass, everything fits.
Well, you know, with this fog and everything and the tide, sometimes you can be way off the mark.
I said don't worry. You hear?
All right, toss the anchor over, mixer.
Okay.
Here. Help me with these straps, will you?
Okay, honey.
You going underwater in that outfit?
Sure. Skin diving setup, self-contained unit. Perfect for these harbor waters.
Is that tight enough?
Yeah, that's fine. Now, what am I looking for down there?
Two cases of canned tuna fish.
What?
Canned tuna. The stuff is in the cans.
How'd you get these cases out here in the first place?
Brought it in from Central America on a freighter. The harbor patrol was getting too nosy, so he dumped them here and checked the spot. You ready, Reaver?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. Get in the water and start fishing.
Go on, Pam. Time to get up. Come on, darling. Can't keep the fish waiting.
Oh, yes, I can. What time is it?
3:30.
3:30, Jerry.
Come on, it'll be 5 a.m. before we get there.
Do the fish know the difference?
The earlier it is, the hungrier they are. Now, come on, dear.
I'd rather catch the lazy fish, the ones that stay in bed till noon.
Not a chance. Nothing ever happens that late in the day. Come on, up, dear.
Ouch.
Up,
oh,
up.
Jerry, ouch!
There's George.
Where?
Oh, over there. He just broke the surface.
Hey, give me a hand.
Okay, George. Okay.
Can you make it?
Yeah, pull me up.
Grab on. Here we go. Oh, it's cold.
What'd you find, George? Did you locate the cases?
No. Toss me that towel, will you?
No? What do you mean, no?
That's what I said. No, there's nothing down there.
Nothing at all, George? Nothing?
Look, they were dropped right here. Two cases of canned tuna. They couldn't be anywhere else.
I tell you, there's nothing down there. Now look for yourself.
Well, maybe the tide moving around, Mixer. Sometimes that happens.
No, they're too heavy for that. I don't like tricks, Reaver.
I'm telling the truth, Mixer. They're not there.
Well, maybe you did get mixed up in the fog, Mixer. Maybe your markings are off a little.
Shut up!
Maybe...
Get back in the water, Reaver. Go down and get those cases. Now.
Gun won't help a thing, Mixer. There's nothing.
I don't like tricks. I don't want trouble.
I don't want trouble either.
In the water, Reaver. Get back down there or else...
Claire, you stupid.
Oh, you were great. George, you were wonderful. You almost had me believing it, honey. You were great.
You killed
me. Now all the stuff is ours, honey. Two big fat cases. Go on, George. Go on down and get them.
You murdered Mixer.
Go on,
back.
George. Go on.
Claire, I was telling the truth. There's nothing down there.
Nothing?
Nothing. You killed Mixer for nothing.
You're lying. The stuff must be down there. It has to be.
But it ain't, I tell you. Why should I lie about it?
Because you're afraid. Because you're a coward.
All right, have it your way. Even if the stuff is down there, I'm leaving it.
Oh, no, you're not.
I am. We're dumping Mix's body and getting out of here.
You stay where you are, George.
Claire.
I mean it. Don't you move. If you try to start this boat, I'll...
Claire, please, in the name of heaven...
Will you stop sniveling?
Well, let's leave it alone. Let's forget it. We can do okay.
Do okay?
We can. We are. All I care about is you and me. You're not worrying about cops anymore. If you'd ever been behind bars, you know what it was like. Rotting away.
I'm telling you for the last time, George. Go down and get that stuff.
It isn't there. Can't you understand? It isn't there.
Go down and take another look. And if you come up without it, you might as well not come up at all.
Oh, a life on the sea, singing joyous and free.
No wonder the fish have been ignoring you, Jerry.
Snobs, that's what they are, snobs.
We've been out here since 5 a.m., and I bet the fish are having breakfast in bed, laughing themselves silly.
Yeah, to be a good fisherman, you've got to have patience.
Right, and fish, too. Hey, easy on those turns.
Oops, sorry, darling.
Where are we going? The shore's back that way.
Yeah, but the fish are out this way.
Oh, there's one.
What?
Wasn't that a fish over there?
Pam, dear, fish don't come up to the surface and...
Jerry! Look.
Yeah, I see it.
It's a man, isn't it?
No, Pam, it was a man.
Hello?
Mrs. Reber?
Yeah? Who are you?
Lieutenant Wigan, homicide.
Homicide? What you...
May we come in?
Well, sure. I guess so. Come on.
Thank you. Oh, this is Mrs. North and Mr. North.
How do you do?
They were out fishing in South Bay this morning and found the body of a man in the water.
Really? Somebody drowned?
He'd been shot, Mrs. Reber.
Well, what's that got to do with me?
Mr. and Mrs. North were down this way early last night to rent a boat from your husband. And the man who was shot was on the pier then.
So?
Well, he seemed to know your husband.
Well, a lot of people know my husband.
This particular man has been identified as Mixer West. That mean anything to you? Where's your husband now?
Well, he's out on a job.
Has it been gone long?
Yeah, since 3 a.m. He left at 3 sharp, a diving job.
Does he always work such odd hours?
Well, he likes to start while the harbor's quiet, not so much boat traffic. Listen, Lieutenant, you don't think George killed this man, do you?
I don't know. You say he's still at work, but his boat is tied up at this pier. How come?
Well, how do you know it's his boat?
Well, the man in the bait shop at the end of the pier told us. Wasn't your husband in prison for a while, Mrs. Reber?
Well, sure, for forging a check. He was broke. He needed money bad. He needed it for me. He did that for me. Does that make a guy a murderer? Does it, Lieutenant?
I don't know, but I intend to find out.
Mrs. Reber.
What's the idea of getting my husband in trouble with the cops?
George in trouble?
Well, you told the cops that was his boat out there, didn't you?
Oh, I see.
Well, you want him to think George is a murderer?
George, a murderer?
Well, that's what they're thinking. I told him George was still working in the harbor, but you told him about the boat.
George Reber, a murderer? Nah. Still, peculiar things are going on around here. Highly peculiar. Too much fog, too much tide, and yesterday, that fisherman catching a net full of tuna.
Tuna?
Yes, sir, tuna. Imagine catching tuna in these waters.
Who caught the tuna?
Oh, one of them fishermen. Hauled in two cases of canned tuna. Best catch around here in years.
Who was he? Who found that tuna, huh? Who?
Well, I don't know exactly. One of them fishermen.
Who was he? Which one? What did he look like?
Like a fisherman. They all look alike to me.
Well, he had a boat, didn't he? They all got boats. Which boat is his? Which one, huh?
Oh, it's a foreign name. Like that song. That's it. La Paloma. Why are you so worried about a bunch of canned fish, Mr. Reber? Hey, Mrs. Peculiar. This waterfront's sure getting peculiar.
La 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 la.
La bonita señorita. Buenos días, señorita. How you are, eh?
I want to talk to you.
Ah, bueno, sí. You help Joe fix these nets, sí?
I'm coming aboard.
Bueno. Your job, okay?
Okay.
Ah, beautiful place. Señor Jose Tabormino, at your service, señorita.
Yeah, okay. Now forget the funny stuff, huh?
Oh, I see. Poor old Joe. My bonita señorita, she wear the wedding ring. Señora, you have broke your...
All right. Forget it. You hauled in some cases of canned tuna yesterday, didn't you?
Oh!
All right, what's so funny about that, huh?
Oh, it's the big joke. For weeks, I fish, and what I get, nothing. Nada. So... Yesterday, my nate's bringing plenty fish, all packing cans.
Yeah. The fish in those cans, I came to buy those cans from you. You name the price.
You buy my cans of fish? I am a fisherman, not a grocery store.
Listen to me. That fish, that canned fish you found, it's no good. It's spoiled, you hear me? It's rotten. It'll poison you if you eat it.
Then why you want to buy poison fish?
I've got a good personal reason for wanting those cans.
Me too. I like tuna fish.
Will you shut up and listen to me?
Say, okay, baby. Why no?
I'll give you anything you want for those cans, Joe. Anything you want, huh? You name the price, Joe. I'll see that you get it. I'm not kidding, Joe. I mean it.
Ah, now I know. The other fishermen, they send you here to joke with me, eh?
Oh, nobody sent me, you dumb ox. I said I'd give you anything you want. What's the matter with you? You're a human being. Oh!
Oh, big joke. Hey, baby. Hey, you want some canned fish, no fooling?
You still think I'm kidding you?
You still say you give me anything?
Sure. I meant what I said. I wasn't kidding you. Deal's a deal.
Okay. You go to my house, see?
Okay. Will you meet me there?
No. You tell my wife about that deal. She give you the fish.
This waterfront is. You ask people about a murder and they tell you about a fisherman who catches canned fish.
Well, that's more than I caught today.
And that fisherman probably didn't have to get up so early to do it.
Well, I better check in at headquarters. The lab report should be coming through on Mixer's body.
What about this man Reber, Bill?
Huh? What about him?
Well, if you want my opinion, find Reber and you found your murderer.
I wonder.
What's there to wonder about? Reber knew Mixer West. Reber went out in his boat at 3 this morning.
And you think Mixer West went out with him?
Reber, for some reason, came back alone.
No, you're probably right, Jerry. Well, can I drive you two back to town?
Yeah, thanks, Bill. I've got to return that boat I hired. It's still tied up at Reber's pier.
Oh, dear. It would have been cheaper to buy it.
I'll drive it back to where I got it.
Okay.
Let us know if you learn anything, Bill. We'll be home tonight.
Right. I'll phone you.
Well, let's get rid of that boat, Pam.
I'll walk with you to Reber's pier.
I might as well ride the boat to where I turn it in.
I've had enough boating for one day, Barnacle Bill. You do it. I'll wait for you on the pier.
Hey, I don't like you hanging around here alone.
Don't be silly. Go on. I'm a big girl now.
That's what bothers me.
Excuse me, ma'am.
What? Yes?
Ain't you the lady who was with the police lieutenant?
Oh, yes, I... Oh, you're the man from the bait shop.
Yes, ma'am. Mind if I use your ear or mic?
Oh, no, not at all.
Over here. Just assume nobody's seen us talking.
Well, what's wrong?
It's that Mrs. Reber, ma'am. Now, me, I'm a truthful fella, and I like to see the law get its way. And even though George Reber's a good friend and a bait-buying customer...
What are you getting at?
I'm getting at the peculiar things happening, ma'am. That Mrs. Reber, for instance...
Well, she's peculiar, all right.
Yes, like I say, I like to see the law get its way, and I'm here to tell you, ma'am, that she's protecting that husband of hers, protecting him from the law.
Protecting him? What do you mean?
Well, he's been considered for murder, ain't he?
Well...
Mrs. Reber herself gave me to think that, ma'am.
Now, why would she tell you or anyone something like that about her own husband?
Hard to say, but I'd say she knows more than she's saying.
Is she home now?
Nope. She got all head up about that fisherman who caught the canned tuna.
Canned tuna?
Imagine. Catching canned tuna in these waters, man. Sure is peculiar. Where are you going, ma'am? Where are you going?
Bonita, señorita. More jokes, eh?
Are you the man who caught the canned fish?
Hey, señorita, I give you canned fish. You give me anything I want, okay? Es bueno?
I beg your pardon?
Come down to the dock.
No, thank you. I'm looking for Mrs. Reber. Have you seen her?
Who?
Mrs. Reber. She's a blonde girl with frizzy hair and a sort of wild look in her eyes.
Oh, si. I send her to my house. It's 112 Bayshore, my house.
Your house? What for?
She wants some tuna fish. She wants some of my tuna fish more than anything in the world.
Now, look, stop the joking.
It's verdad, baby.
And don't call me baby.
Okay. Your friend, she go running to my house. She sure must like tuna fish, that senora. Hey, baby, what do you run? You like tuna fish, too?
wait a minute.
Oh, Jerry.
Where the heck have you been? I've been looking everywhere.
We've got to get you a phone.
What's the matter?
We'd better call Bill Wagon. Come on.
Well, wait a minute. What is it?
There's something strange going on. Come on, Jerry.
Well, there's a phone in the bait shop, but what...
That Reber woman.
What about
her? She likes tuna fish. Come on, Jerry. A woman doesn't go running around looking for cans of fish when her husband is... Well, come on, Jerry. I'll explain after I talk to Bill.
Mrs. Tavermina. Mrs. Tavermina. Mrs. Tavermina? Anybody in here?
Hi, Claire. Mrs. Tavermina's gone shopping.
George.
You had to show up there sooner or later, didn't you? Stuff in those cans, it attracts you like a magnet.
George.
Like a magnet, like honey draws flies, like you attract me.
George, I didn't mean it out there, you know. You know how I get, George. I get crazy. You know, I didn't mean what I did.
You mean killing Mixer or trying to kill me?
George, I don't like it when you look at me like that. George, you know how much I love you?
Yeah, I know. Here, I opened the cases. Here's your real love. This and money. Here, have a can of dope. Go on, pick it up. Here's another. Go on, Claire. A can full of stuff. Lots of money in this. Have some more.
George, stop it. Stop it. You know I didn't mean what I did. I didn't, George. You stop looking at me that way. George, I'm your Claire. I make it up, George. I'll be different. I'll be everything you want me to be. George, please.
That's for sending me up the river on your forgery rap.
Please, George, don't. Stop.
Forget me. You're deal with Mixer, doing everything to keep you from going straight to you.
Stop,
that's for killing Mixer in cold blood. Forcing me off the boat with your gun shooting at me like a duck in the water. Leave me there to die.
George, don't, please.
Hey, what's happening in there?
Come on in. You're finished now, baby. All finished.
No, Jack, you won't. You won't.
What's all the noise?
Good heavens.
You looking for a killer? Here's your killer. She...
Hey, watch it. She's got a gun.
Oh.
Down. Stay down, Pam.
Okay. So I'm your killer. So I'll show what kind of a killer I am. You, George, stand up. Stand up!
I can't. I've got a bullet in my leg.
Fine, I got more for you.
Jerry, the cans.
What about them?
Busy body, you get on your feet.
Me?
Yeah, hurry up.
All right, I will.
Now stand still. Stand still, I said, or...
No, Jerry. No, I...
Come on, get her gun, Pam. Get her gun.
Okay, I got it.
Nice pitching, mister. Real nice pitching.
Yeah, but... Oh, golly, Jerry, suppose you'd missed.
Yeah, that's right. Suppose I'd missed.
Oh, Jerry. Don't ever do anything like that again.
Did you set this alarm?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Mm. I set it.
For 3:30 in the morning?
Yep.
What in heaven's name did you do that for?
Just to remind us that we don't have to get up to go fishing.
Oh.
Good night, darling.
Pam and Jerry are sure to have more exciting adventures next week.
Good health to all from Rexall. Yes, it's Sunday. Time for the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. Presented by the makers of Rexall drug products and 10,000 independent Rexall family druggists.
Good evening.
This is your Rexall family druggist, taking a little time from behind the prescription counter this Sunday evening to speak for all 10,000 of us. The 10,000 independent druggists who have added the word Rexall to our own store names. You can always tell us by the orange and blue Rexall sign on our windows. The sign means that we carry the 2,000 or more drug products made by the Rexall Drug Company. They range all the way from aspirin to penicillin. And they're as fine and pure and dependable as science can make them. We independent druggists recommend them to our customers because we know you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Good health to all from Rexall. Rexall Family Druggist brings you the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show, written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Sharp and his music, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris. Most of you must remember that first ordeal of your childhood. Having your tonsils removed. This minor crisis has struck the Harris family. And as we look in, Alice is trying to comfort her frightened patient.
Now look, honey, you mustn't cry. Having your tonsils removed doesn't hurt a bit. You get to stay overnight at the hospital, and in the morning they give you a big heaping plate of ice cream.
I don't care. I don't want my tonsils out. I don't want them out, do you hear me?
Why not?
Well, because I've become attached to them. They're part of me, and I've learned to love them.
Daddy, there's nothing to it. When the doctor removed my tonsils, I didn't mind it.
Didn't it hurt?
No. I didn't mind when he took mine out, either. You'll be at the same hospital we were. Oh, it's a lot of fun. They put you to sleep. And when you wake up, a beautiful nurse comes in with a plate of ice cream.
When I'm stubborn, I don't want a blonde or brunette.
Tutti frutti.
Tutti frutti? What kind of color hair is that? Look, Alice, do I have to have my tonsils taken out today? Can't I put it off for a while? After all, I'm too young for this type of operation.
Too young, he says. What do you want to do, wait until you're 60?
No, but I think a man should have his tonsils removed when he's 40.
Why didn't you? I feel you can't postpone it. The doctor's made arrangements at the hospital. He's going to operate this afternoon, and that's that.
No. Alice, look, I hate to talk about it, but... Well, I've got to know... Now, when he cuts my tonsils out, will I lose much B-L-U-D?
Oh, not more than 2 K-W-A-R-T-Z.
What do you think they're talking about, Phyllis? I don't know. They must have a language all their own.
Now, girls, run along outside and play, huh?
Oh, Alice, I'm scared.
Now, Phil, the doctor said it's a very simple operation. It's ridiculous to fret about it.
Ridiculous to fret, she says. What am I supposed to do before I go on my operation?
Increase your life insurance, Philip.
One of these days, I'm going to dull his pinking shears. I'll go further than that. I'll tear up every one of his butterick patterns.
Philip, you're a fortunate man. It's a wonderful day for a tonsillectomy.
Oh, the day's got to be nice yet. Where do you think I'm having this done, at the Hollywood Bowl?
No, but a nice day makes one feel more cheerful. By the way, who's performing the operation, Philip?
Dr. Stanley Immerman.
Oh. Well, we all have to go sometime. Personally, I prefer Dr. Arthur J. Rando.
Stop baiting, Phil. You know Dr. Immerman is a wonderful surgeon. Why, he's been our family doctor for years.
That's right. Only last year he treated Aunt Harriet for poison ivy. May she rest in peace.
He treated her for poison ivy and she cut. The operation's off. Let's forget it. We're a little late, folks. Good night. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting. Bong, bong, bong.
Here. Willie is just teasing you. Aunt Harriet was 102 when she died.
Of what?
Of what? She was crowding the plate and Bob fella beaned her with a fast one.
Now that I don't believe at all. Go ahead, laugh, laugh, make jokes about it. Nobody in this house cares. The only one who realizes the seriousness of this thing is Frankie. When I told him...
Hi, Alice. I brought the beer over for Curly's wake. Too bad.
Frankie.
Oh, are you still alive? I thought you were having your tonsils taken out today.
Not until this afternoon. Gee whiz, Frankie. Don't you feel sorry for me?
Why should I? It's a simple operation. I had mine taken out last year.
How was it?
Horrible. Why, do you know that after the operation, I couldn't eat any solid food? I was on a liquid diet.
Oh, that must have been a harrowing experience.
Well, it was. For 2 weeks, I had to send back the fruit out of the old-fashioned. But you have nothing to worry about if you have a good doctor with a steady hand. Who is cutting your tonsils out?
Dr. Immerman.
Immerman? Oh, you mean old Butterfingers.
You can cut that kid. Dr. Immerman is the best surgeon in town.
How much is he charging?
$75.
$75? That's highway robbery. You don't have to pay that kind of money.
Well, where could I get it done cheaper?
I know a guy.
Look, Remley, you can forget about a guy. This
no,
is...
no, he'll clip him out quick. He used to do all the clipping in the Army.
Well, what... what was he, a barber?
Of course not. He's the guy who used to go up ahead and snip the barbed wire.
Must you jest at a time like this?
Pardon.
No, but do you realize that an awful thing could happen to me, Remley? This operation could affect my voice. And I won't be able to sing anymore.
True. But what awful thing could happen?
Now, wait. Just a minute, Mr. Remley. My voice happens
now,
to...
take it easy, Curly. I'm only kidding. I guarantee nothing will happen to your voice.
How do you know? You're just saying that to make me feel good. I'll tell you what, Frankie, I'll sing for you now. And listen closely, Frankie. Remember, this may be the last time you'll ever hear me sing.
Well, you're just saying that to make me feel good.
Now Elmer Jones arose at dawn and put his hunting breeches on, then looked up at his shotgun on the wall. Made his mind up then and there to bag himself a hunk of bear at shooting. He had plenty on the ball. He milked the cow and fed the hog, then kissed his wife and called the dog, picked up his gun and started on his quest. He crossed the creek and hit the trees, threw back his head and sniffed the breeze, let out a yell and pounded on his chest.
Here comes Elmer, Elmer's got his gun. Here comes Elmer, run, bear, run.
He hunted all the morning through, but not a bear came into view while Elmer's thoughts were on the kitchen range. For he was sick as he could be of lamb and chicken fricassee and craved a mess of bear meat for a change. Poor Elmer's mind was in a fog. He paused and sat down on a log to get his faculties back in a groove. He heard a noise, and standing there before him was a grizzly bear, and figured it was time he made his move.
Here comes Elmer. Elmer's got his gun. Here comes Elmer. Run, bear, run.
He grabbed his gun and turned around, but Mr. Bear just stood his ground, and Elmer said, it's either me or thou. gun refused to go, and so he knew that somebody had to go and said, "Farewell, I'm leaving as of now." Elmer's shoulders sprouted wings, his feet developed inner springs. To linger longer, he was disinclined. He ran so fast through muck and mire, his ankles set his socks afire. Still, that bear kept coming on behind.
Here comes Elmer, Elmer's got his gun. Here comes Elmer, run, bear, run.
A deer with antler 8 feet wide got in the way of Elmer's stride as both of them went heading for the brush. Elmer said, "Now listen, son, if that's the fastest you can run, move over, because I'm really in a rush." The bear was gaining inch by inch and finally reached out for the clinch as Elmer saw the fence around his place. He leaped the fence and landed hard, jumped 60 feet across the yard and slammed the kitchen door in Bruin's face.
Here comes Elmer. Elmer's got his gun. Here comes Elmer. Run, bear, run.
Bear was trying to get inside while Elmer sought a place to hide, and Mrs. Jones began to pull her hair. She said, "This fuss has got to stop. Why don't you let that matter drop?" And Elmer said, "Honey, you go tell that to the bear." Then Elmer's wife said, "Listen, goon, how come you think you're Daniel Boone, whose appetite on bear meat used to thrive?" He said, "I'm sure that you're aware that Daniel always killed his bear, but honey, I done brought this baby home alive."
Here comes Elmer. Elmer's got his gun. Here comes Elmer. Run, bear, run.
Better get ready. We'll have to leave for the hospital in a few minutes.
No, honey. No, I don't. Oh, Frankie, I'm afraid to go to the hospital.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Oh, Frankie, I don't want to go.
Hey, bring the groceries in.
Well, I never want
to. What's wrong with Stella Dell?
Go away, Julius. I'm a sick man.
Oh, that's a shame, Mr. Harris. What's wrong?
I'm going to the hospital for an operation. What's so funny? I'm having my tonsils taken out and everybody's laughing. I'm frightened.
Frightened about having your tonsils taken out? Hey, you big sissy.
There's nothing to it, Curly. It's a cinch.
Yeah, it's easy for you to say that. You don't have to go. Oh, gee. I feel like a condemned man.
Well, Phil, it's time to go.
I don't want to go, do you hear me? I ain't going to go.
There's no use fighting it, baby face. Go with the warden.
Don't crack up now, pal. Walk that last mile like a man.
Harris is getting his tonight.
I can't bear to watch it when the light's dim.
Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me.
Will you guys stop?
Oh, leave him alone, fellas. Come on, Phil, the chair is... the doctor. Let's get to the hospital, huh? Hollywood Memorial Hospital. Oh, Mrs. Daniels is resting very comfortably. You're welcome.
Nurse, hasn't my wife had her baby yet?
No, not yet.
Oh, how can she be so inconsiderate? How can she torture me like this?
Now, Mr. Phillips, just go back to the father's waiting room and relax. I'll call you.
Okay, thanks. This is the third time and she always keeps me waiting. I'll never learn.
Oh, Phil, come on, will you?
Don't rush me. I want a little time to think it over.
Stop making me drag you. You haven't acted this way since the day I led you to the altar. Oh, hello. Is there anything I can do for you folks?
No, thanks. We're just browsing.
Yes, I'm Mrs. Harris. Mr. Harris has a reservation for a tonsillectomy. Oh, yes, we've been expecting you. You'll have to wait a few minutes, Mr. Harris. The doctor isn't quite ready for you yet.
Well, Thank goodness. Oh, Alice, I feel a little weak. I'm going to sit down.
You go ahead, Phil.
Never felt so shaky in my life. Oh, here's a waiting room. I'll just go in and sit down and... Oh, hello, mister.
Hello. You waiting, too?
Yeah, I'm here
for... Oh, you don't have to tell me. I recognize the symptoms. Hey, you look shaky. This must be your first time, huh? I've been through this 3 times.
You mean this can happen again?
Well... It's been known to.
How big are they as a rule?
My first one weighed 7 pounds, 3 ounces.
Didn't you have trouble finding collars to fit you? What did it look like?
It was the image of my wife.
Your wife must be a very unusual looking woman.
Oh, but what a thrill you'll get when they put the little thing in your arms.
They give it to you? What are you supposed to do with it?
Wrap it in a blanket and take it home. What do you expect to do with yours?
Well, I hadn't made any plans for it.
Well, I guess there's time for that. What are you hoping for, a boy or a girl?
Do they come in sexes?
Do they come in... Oh, mister, I'd better have a little talk with you. How soon do you expect this event to take place?
In about 15 minutes. See, my wife said she'd come in and let me know when the doctor's ready.
She's coming in and let you...
The doctor's almost ready.
Oh, okay, honey. Oh, by the way, mister, this is my wife.
This is your wife? And in 15 minutes? Oh, excuse me, I gotta get some air.
He acted awfully peculiar.
You'd act peculiar, too, if you had a wife that looked like a tonsil.
Well, Phil, you'll be going up to the operating room in 5 minutes.
Alice, how can you be so matter-of-fact about it? Don't you have any feelings? I don't think you care.
No, you know I care. If you don't believe me, look at me. No one, I didn't care if the moon fell apart. I went around with a chip on my heart. Now look at me, take a look at me. A miracle has happened. Each little dream seems to fit into place. Can't tell the sun from the smile on my face. Just look at me and see. I like this brand.
Alice, how can you sing at a time like this? Gee whiz, how can you be so heartless?
Now, Phil, please believe me. I'm not being heartless.
Harris, we're ready for you in the operating room.
The operating room? Oh, no. No, I'm not going. Oh, I can't go. I could just see them all standing around the table, and the doctor and the nurse and the anesthetist.
Now, Mr. Harris, lie perfectly still while we administer the anesthetic.
Doctor, I tell you, I don't want my tonsils out. I want to get out of here. Oh, doctor, I want to romp in the fields. I want to feel the sun. I want to feel the rain in my hair. I want to...
Oh, live. Shut up!
Doctor, that's no way to talk to an invalid.
Now, Mr. Harris, I'm putting this ether cone over your face, and I want you to count slowly. By the time you reach 15, you'll be asleep. Now, count.
5, 10, 15. I'm not asleep yet. It didn't work. Operation called off on account of bad ether. See you around, Doc. You're looking good.
Get back there. Now, count to 15. Or can't you count that high?
Don't be a wise doctor. I can do it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Jack, Queen, King, A. I'm floating through space. Where are they taking me? Oh, today's the day I'm going to be operated on.
Oh, they're all laughing at me. Alice, Frankie, Julius, and Willie. They don't care what happens to me. Look at me. I'm on the operating table and nobody's here. Nurse! Nurse!
What's on your mind, kiddo?
Alice, what are you doing in a nurse's uniform, and why are you talking like you used to before you got into picture?
Be quiet. Here comes the doctor now.
Well, thank goodness you're here, doctor. You're the doctor?
You shut up, Max. I'm Dr. Barrett.
Julius.
No, Paul.
Paul Barrett.
His assistant, Dr. Seidel.
Frankie.
No, Homer.
Homer Seidel. Oh, no, let me out of here.
Lie down. I'm ready to operate. Nice, my gloves.
Which one do you want, the first baseman or the catcher's mitt?
Never mind. We'll do it without gloves.
Now, Mr. Harris, what do you want us to take out? We're having a special today. Adenoids, $25. Appendix, $35. Liver, $45. With onions, 15 cents extra.
Look, fellas, all I want is my tonsils out.
Oh, of course. Nice, take your shoes off.
My shoes? My tonsils are in my throat.
We're doing it the hard way.
Temperature? 101.
Pulse?
74.
Blood count?
90 proof.
Only 90 proof? Somebody's been watering it.
We're ready, nurse. Hand me my knife. Better sprinkle some ashes on it.
Ashes?
Yeah, it keeps slipping. Now open your mouth, Harris.
Wait a minute now. Aren't you going to give me ether first?
Nah, let's rough it. Now, nurse, this is a very delicate procedure, and I'll need your help. I'll approach the tonsil through the esophagus, I'll bypass the larynx, and at that precise moment, you're to apply the suture quickly to the pituitary gland.
Not Captain.
Prognosis, Doctor. There's a more professional way to remove this man's tonsils.
How?
You tie a string around him and I'll open the door fast.
Never mind. Now do it the right way.
All right. Open your mouth. Doctor, my forceps.
Forceps?
Knife.
Knife.
Scalp him.
Ugh.
That scalpel.
Tommy Hawk.
Oh, he's Big Joe. Tommy Hawk. Big Joe. Big Joe.
Shall we go around once more?
Let's do it. All right, Nice, you can help now. Get the suture in.
Suture in.
Suture in. Clamps down.
Clamps down.
Fire torpedo tube number one. Have all over, Leutnant.
Achtung, Deutschland über alles.
Ist das nicht ein lautes Tanzel?
Ja, das ist ein lautes Tanzel.
Lautes
Tanzel. Oh, where am I? What happened?
Well, they operated on you last night, Phil, and you're doing fine.
They took out my tonsils. Tell me, Alice, who does it look like?
Oh. Well, he's still a little delirious, I see. But if you want to see your tonsil, Mr. Harris, I have it right here.
May I hold it? Gee, it's cute. So you're my little tonsil.
Good morning, Philip.
Oh, no, I got a tonsil that talks like Willie.
Alice and Phil will be back in just a moment. But first, here's your Rexall Family Druggist.
Every year, accidents in the home and on the highways continue to take more lives than any disease or illness. Yet many of these lives could have been saved by proper first aid. That's why the National Association of Retail Druggists has proclaimed next week National First Aid Week. And during this week, the 10,000 independent Rexall Druggists of America invite you to do two things. First, do everything you can to prevent accidents, but when they happen, be prepared. First, by knowing what to do, and second, by making sure your medicine chest contains all the things you need to do it. Now, your own Rexall Family Druggist will be glad to tell you the essential first aid items you should always have on hand. What's more, he carries Rexall's complete first aid line. Everything from sterile cotton and handy gauze pads to the proper antiseptics, surgical powder, burn remedies, plus certain Rexall exclusives, like Rexall's new ProCap adhesive tape and Rexall quick bands. He'll also be glad to show you the specially designed first aid kits, priced at 98 cents to $2.10. These always ready, room-saving Rexall kits contain all the necessaries for simple first aid, including a manual of first aid instructions. Look for these products wherever you see the orange and blue Rexall sign on the window. And remember, when accidents do happen, it's good to know you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Good health to all from Rexall.
Alice, honey, I'll be home soon. I'm going down to the taxidermist.
What for?
I'm going to have my tonsil mounted. I think it'll look much better over the fireplace than that moose head.
This program is produced and directed by Paul Phillips. Included in today's cast were Jacqueline DeWitt, Ted Bunnell, and John Beale. The part of Frankie Remley was played by Elliot Lewis, and Julius was played by...
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.